Warm welcome to you, whether you're here in the building or listening online. It's lovely to have you here with us. Just a couple of things before we start. We do have two invitations today. One's quite a nice one. The other one is an invitation that you should really not look over. But the first invitation is we have a fellowship lunch afterwards. If you haven't put your name down, you are more than welcome to stay behind afterwards and join food with us. It's next door. There's plenty of food. So if you haven't put your name down and you would like to stay, we'd love to have you stay to join in with us. The second invitation, I'll leave that to Mark later. It's a bit more of an important one and one really not to be missed. I've just got a verse that I'd quickly like to read before we sing our first song. And it's found in Colossians. And it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts." And it's just an encouragement now, isn't it? As we sing now, remember who we're singing to, and do we sing with thankfulness in our hearts? So as we sing now, I really do pray that we pray through the words that we sing and really have thankfulness in our hearts as we sing them. So we're going to be standing to sing, "O God, beyond all praising, we worship you today." And please stand when the music starts. "Go, sir," but he did not go. "Which of the two did the will of the Father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." Hear another parable. "There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to the tenants and went into another country. And when the season for the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. And In a bit, we'll be taking the second part. But before then, if Josh wants to come up and the children as well, do you want to come down the front for the children's talk?
Good morning.
Come on, grab a seat.
Good morning. It's nice to see you all today. It's lovely to see you. And today I'd like to talk to you about ice cream. This isn't real ice cream. This is a stunt double from home. This is one of our toys. I'd like to talk to you about ice cream. Now, why is it that I wanted to talk to you about ice cream? Well, it's not very sunny today, but we did have some sunny days this week. And when it was sunny, we were having lots of ice cream and ice lollies at home. Did any of you guys have any ice cream or ice lollies this week? You did. Lots of you had some ice cream and ice lollies. So why is an ice cream nice? Why do you like an ice cream? Go on. It's cold, yeah. So if it's hot, it cools you down. It refreshes you, doesn't it? Oh, sorry, I took your answer there. Why else might you like it? There's different flavours, and the flavours are really nice, aren't they? You don't really get broccoli-flavoured ice cream, do you? I'm sure somebody makes that, but we have nice, sweet flavours, don't we? So, I'm going to ask you a silly question here. Okay, this is a silly question, a bit cheeky, but if I said to you, look, you guys can either have a children's talk from the Bible, or you can have some ice cream, what would you rather have? You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer that. But if I was looking at that, if somebody said, Josh, you can listen to the talk at church, or you can sneak out the back and have an ice cream, I would sort of be thinking, that ice cream looks quite nice, looks quite sweet and refreshing. Maybe nobody would notice if I just snuck out the back. But I would be wrong if I thought that. I would be wrong because actually, the Bible, what God says to us in the Bible, I'm going to say to you that the Bible is a bit like ice cream. The Bible is a bit like ice cream. I got at least one or two funny looks there. I don't know if you're believing me. Let me read for you in the Bible, or maybe one of you guys can read it. Hopefully, we've got a little quote. Here we go. Can anyone read that top bit for me? Annie, do you want to read it for me?
The Lord.
That's it. Keep going. The law of the
Lord is perfect, refreshing
the soul. Perfect. And can somebody read the next bit for me? Go on, Harvey. Very good. Thank you for reading that, guys. Yes, it says two things in the Bible. It says the law of the Lord, and this is the law of the Lord. It's God's words. It's the Bible. It says the Bible, it's perfect, and it refreshes the soul. It's a bit like ice cream. It cools you down. And the next bit says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey. Now, they didn't have ice cream. Poor guys back in the Bible times, they didn't have ice cream, but the sweetest thing they could think of was honey. And this is very sweet, isn't it? So the Bible tells us that God's words, the words he says to us, are refreshing and they are sweet. And in fact, they're better than ice cream. And why are they refreshing? Why are they sweet? Well, because they're so good. The things that God says to us in here are good. If we're stuck and we don't know what to do, we can go and see what God says to us, and it gives us help. We can go and read about Jesus, and Jesus tells us how we can be friends with God. And when we are friends with God, that is a good thing. It is sweet. It makes us happy. It refreshes us when we need to be refreshed. So I would encourage you guys, when you get a chance to hear God's word in the Bible, whether you're at home, whether you're here at church or something, I would encourage you to gobble it up, yeah? Gobble it up like you would gobble up an ice cream. And now I feel very mean talking about ice creams without really having some ice cream, so I really have got some. I'm not going to get them out now because we'll make a mess in here and we'll be in trouble. But there are ice creams and some ice lollies in the freezer. And if it's okay with your parents, then you can have some afterwards, okay? So I will get them out and I'll give you some ice creams or ice lollies afterwards, all right? Well done. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Josh. Well, there's a lot going on with food today, isn't there? We've had food in Thrive, we've had ice creams at the front, and our food later on, brilliant. Before we read our second part, we're going to be singing our second song now. So when the music starts, please stand again. We're going to be singing King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. Gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne. So please stand when the music starts. Well, our second reading this morning is in Matthew 22 on page 827 in the Chapel Bibles. And this will be the passage that Mark will be speaking on a little bit later. So Matthew 22, starting from the beginning at verse 1, reading through to 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get here without a wedding?' And he was speechless. 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" And Mark will be speaking to us from that in a little bit. But before then, should we come before God, should we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we just come before a God who invites and calls people to come to him. Lord, that call is there for everybody, and the invitation is there for everybody to accept. And Lord, as we hear that invitation, Lord, we pray that many will accept it and come and follow you. Lord, we thank you so much that in the way that you accept people, Lord, we thank you that there's nothing special that we have to do. There's no rules we have to follow. Lord, we can come just as we are, but have our heart fully wanting to serve our King and our Master. Lord, we come before you and we just confess that we are full of sin and there's nothing that we can do to get rid of that ourselves, but only what Jesus has done by dying on the cross. Lord, what an amazing invitation that is. What an amazing Saviour we have, that he has already gone before us to prepare a place for us. Lord, I just really do pray that anyone that is sitting here or listening online today will hear that call, hear that invitation, and want to come. Lord, we thank you that this invitation is greater than any invitation that anyone could ever receive. But Lord, we think of those that do not accept it. Lord, we are so saddened by that. Lord, we are told in your word that there are only two places, Lord, where we will end up. Lord, if we accept that invitation, Lord, we would be with you in heaven for eternity. Yet if we refuse to accept that invitation, Lord, we know that we are looking at an eternity in hell away from you. But Lord, I just pray while there is still time, while we're still alive and breathing, Lord, there is still time to accept your call. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the teaching of your Son. Lord, we've been looking at these parables that punch, and Lord, they have been such a blessing to us, but also they have been challenging. Lord, we look at our own lives sometimes and we realise that, Lord, we're not perfect at all, are we? We do so many things against your will and against your word. So, Lord, in those times when we've been challenged, Lord, we pray that they would have helped us and encouraged us to bring us back on track and back in line with you. We thank you so much that we have these parables, Lord, to be taught and to learn from. Lord, we can be so encouraged from them also as well. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living, it is true. And as we pick it up day by day, Lord, it can be our guide for our lives. Lord, we thank you that in this country we can read your word freely. Lord, we're not persecuted for reading our Bibles. But yet there are so many places in this world, Lord, where even now they have to hide Bibles. They have to hide away from people. They're not allowed to meet up together. Yet, Lord, they find true comfort in your words. We pray that you'd be with those people that are persecuted, that are put to death even for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may we take an interest in them as well and continue to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. Lord God, we just thank you so much for this morning, for all the things that have taken place already. Lord, we think about Thrive and we think about Rooted. And Lord, it's such an encouragement to see children and teenagers come week by week, hearing and understanding your word. But we just pray for lives to be changed through the messages and the lessons that they're taught, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their lives and we'd see people brought to you. Lord, we think about the younger ones in Thrive. They've been going through a series of following Jesus, Lord. And we just pray that they would accept that call and follow you all the days of their lives. Lord, we know that there are many things in this world that distract us from you. Lord, we know that there are many things that tempt us away from following you. We know that there are many things in this world that make people so unhappy because they feel that they have to be a certain way or have something that other people have, Lord. But we just pray in those things that make us so unhappy, help them to realise that having Jesus Christ and following him, Lord, only brings you joy and peace and true happiness. Lord, help that to be the desire of their hearts, we pray. Lord God, we pray for events that are coming up this week, and we especially pray for First Tuesday. Lord, we are so thankful for so many of the folks that come to that. Lord, the time that they get to enjoy together and to share a message together as well, Lord. And we just pray that as they hear those messages each month, Lord, that they would affect them in a way that wants them to be challenged by your word, Lord, that they want to know more about you. And Lord, those that do not know you, Lord, would want to give their life to you, Lord, to serve you. Lord, and what's so wonderful, it doesn't matter what age we are, whether we're the youngest in here or the eldest, Lord. Your message is for all people, and that invitation is there all the time to accept, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for this last week where we've celebrated 192 years of this building here, this church at Forest Fold. What an encouragement that has been. And Lord, how amazing it's been for so many years. Your gospel has been preached here. Lord, we thank you so much for all the ministers and the Christians that have gone before us, the encouragement that we have taken from them, Lord. And Lord, how your word has spread out from this town here. Lord, we just pray that as we go into another year, Lord, that you would really bless us here as a church. Help us to be a shining light in the community around us. Help us to be a lighthouse to people here. Lord, we pray that we'd be able to take the good news of the gospel to people around and about us. Encourage us that when we meet people in our daily lives, Lord, whether it's at work, at home, our neighbours, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to speak about the gospel to them. Lord, when we think about Lighthouse as well, I just pray for the up-and-coming event down at the Alderbrook again. Lord, it's been such a blessing over the last few years. So many children and parents have come to that event. And as we prepare the speakers for that and to go down there again, Lord, we pray that it would be a real blessing to us again. We pray that many people would want to come. They'd want to come and enjoy the games and the crafts and the fun. But most importantly, we pray that your word would be spread out and around that place there. Lord, we pray that people would be changed through your word. Lord, we thank you that your word does give life and that it doesn't matter where we're from, Lord. If we accept it, we can be welcomed into your family. So, Lord God, do be with us now as we come to hear your word spoken to us. We especially pray for Mark as he comes up in a moment to talk to us on this parable. I pray that you would be with him and help him. And may it be a real blessing to each and every single one of us in here. Help us to forget again the distractions that we might have, Lord. Help us to be really focused on the things that we're about to hear. And we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. So before Mark comes up, we're going to be singing our third song now. The Lord is King. Lift up your voice. And again, please stand when the music starts.
Well, good morning once again. So, parables that punch three. If you haven't been here in recent weeks, you've probably picked up already that we've already looked at parables that punch one and two. If you've missed them and you're interested in them, you can find them on the website. These are stories that Jesus told to shake and impact and challenge the listeners that are listening. These are stories that pack a punch. These aren't stories that are designed to be kind of nice cartoon children's books. They're stories that share the truth of Jesus, and they warn us, actually, of the truth about himself. And some of that can be shocking, because often our view can be of Jesus, this mild man who's always smiling, who's always kind to everyone he meets. And if that's our only view of Jesus, then we struggle a little bit with this. It is true that he demonstrates a depth of love that we can never get to the bottom of. That's why we sing things like, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free." But we also need to understand that how we respond to him is a serious matter, because God is a God of justice. And God really, really cares about how we respond to Jesus. God really cares about how we respond to Jesus. You know, there can be no sitting on the fence when we're faced with Jesus. Again, in the story that we're looking at this morning, we're faced with strong warnings about the consequences of rejecting Jesus. But we're also encouraged that there's a lot of evidence that God is good. God is good. Well, last week we had a master, we had a son, we had some servants, and we had some tenants working in a vineyard. This week we've got a king, and we've got a son, and we've got some servants, and we've got people invited to a royal wedding, the wedding of the king's son. I know in Thrive they looked at a very similar story that Jesus told. So if you went to Thrive, I want you to have a little bit of a think about what's similar in this story, what's kind of the same, and what's different. So maybe as we think about it, have a think. What's the same as a story you looked at this morning, and what's different? And if you can tell me afterwards, maybe you get some brownie points. They don't really mean much, but you know. So let's look at the story, Matthew 22. And again, it says at the beginning of Matthew 22, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." Now, I want you to notice just right at the beginning that Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a wedding feast. He doesn't compare the kingdom of heaven to a funeral. He doesn't compare the kingdom of heaven to a really, really long church service where the preacher just drones on and on for ages. He doesn't compare the kingdom of heaven to this sort of magical land where you've got angels sitting on clouds playing the harp. He doesn't compare the kingdom of heaven to this land where everyone's sort of a goody two-shoes and, okay, everyone's good, but they're also dead boring to be with because they have no sense of fun. Now, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, may be compared to a wedding feast that the king puts on for his son. This was a proper celebration. Wedding feasts in those days went on for days. They were a big event. Well, some of you love weddings. So I don't have to particularly work very hard to convince you that this would be a great thing to go to. You're already a little bit excited. And the thought of going to a royal wedding, well, that's like a dream for you. Maybe some of the rest of us might have to work a little bit harder to convince you that this is good. Maybe you think, well, weddings, you know, there's a bit of standing around, there's lots of photos. Maybe you're not quite as excited. But this was a feast. It was a party. It was a celebration. It would have meant a few days off from work. This was going to be an amazing event. And notice the details. We get a little bit later. There's so much meat and good food. We've got fellowship lunch after this, and the food is always amazing. This might be even better if we can believe that. The fatted calf has been killed. as a family, we always knew that my older brother Mike was coming home because Mum killed the fatted calf. And we had this feast. And we never got it normally, but when Mike was coming home, we got a feast. Not I'm jealous at all. With the YPs, if we mention that Pete's doing a barbecue, their faces light up. This is a party where it's going to be good food. It's going to be feast. It's going to be something that people would look forward to. This is a great event. It's a celebration. It's quite literally a feast fit for a king. Now, children in Thrive, I hear you had a sort of mini feast at the end of Thrive. Is that right? Yeah. Can you tell me? Put your hands up if you're in Thrive, just so I can see where you are. Lovely. And can anyone tell me what you had in that little feast? Go on, just shout out. Popcorn. Ooh. Cheese. Very nice. Proper banquet. What else did you have? Croissants. Wow. I think there were some pain au chocolat as well, if my French serves me correct. Yeah, lovely. And brownies? Were there brownies? Lovely. And banana? I got told the list very quickly. Wow. And that was just a little feast. What a little treat. Well, here there's a huge banquet, a huge feast. We see something of the goodness of the king here. And of course, the king is a picture of God. And so we see something here of the generosity and the goodness of God here. Of course, he wants to put on a banquet for his son, but he also wants to be the host that blesses everyone that comes. And so we get a bit of a glimpse of God's heart here, that he wants to bless all those who come. So the king sends out invites. It's a bit of a surprise. The invitations are rejected, verses 3 to 7. The invitations are rejected. So we carry on the story, verse 3. And the king sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Now, most people make a pretty decent effort to get to a wedding, don't they? It's not uncommon for people to travel a few hours to get to a wedding. It's the sort of thing that if it goes in your diary, it stays in your diary and nothing replaces it, because it's important. It's a big event. It's an occasion. In fact, I know one of you is planning to go to Australia to go to a wedding soon. It's a pretty big event. People make special effort for weddings. But not these people. They wouldn't come. The invitation comes out, but they would not come along. Everyone listening to this story, by the way, that Jesus is saying would have completely understood that this was highly offensive to the king, that they wouldn't come along. Verse 4, again, he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything's ready. Come to the wedding feast." The king's patient. We saw last week, he doesn't fly off the handle. He's the king, he could have done. But he doesn't fly off the handle. Instead, he's patient. He sends out more servants. Come along. Dinner's on the table. Quick, before it gets cold. It's all ready. Come along and enjoy this feast. Similar to last week, if you were here, we see God's patience because he wants people to come. He wants to show compassion. He doesn't jump straight away into judgment. So he sends the second servants, but verse 5 says, "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them." The king's servants are rejected. Some of them are just ignored. Some of them are beaten up. Some of them are killed. Does that remind you of what happened to the servants? If you were here last week, what happened to the servants when they went to the vineyard? Some of them were ignored, some of them were beaten, some of them were killed. It's a different story that Jesus is telling, but he's making the same point. It's the same reaction, rejection. Like last week, this is it's a picture of God sending his messengers or his prophets to his people to share the good news of his kingdom with them. But time after time, they reject his messengers. Some of the messengers, they just ignored. They had better things to be doing, or so they thought anyway. Others of them they badly treated.
Think about like Jeremiah, for example, the way he was ignored at times, other times put in prison. He was laughed and mocked at by different kings and religious leaders. He was thrown in a muddy pit and left to starve. He was only rescued by this Ethiopian man who came to rescue him. In fact, even after Jesus died and rose again, so even after Jesus is telling this story, many of his messengers, those who were sharing the good news, were brutally killed. Don't think that when Jesus talks about them being attacked and killed that Jesus is exaggerating. Think about John the Baptist and how he was killed. Think about how Stephen was stoned. Think about the awful treatment that Peter had. Talks about James being killed with the sword. These messengers of God that are going out to share the good news of Jesus, and people don't want to hear it. And so they kill the messengers. They'd gone out like the servants inviting people into the kingdom of God, but they'd been ignored or worse. This is what God says elsewhere in the Bible. He says, "All day long I have held out my hands to the people of Israel, but they are a disobedient and contrary people." God says, look, all day I've been begging them to listen to me, begging them to come to me, but they won't listen. They won't listen. So what does the king do? Verse 7, the king was angry and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. This is how kings in those days responded to the most serious cases of treason. We're getting a picture here of what's going on. This is serious treason that they've committed. Many believe that this is a picture of what will happen to Jerusalem in AD 70 when the Roman army under Titus will come and they'll come to Jerusalem and they'll completely destroy the temple so that not one stone is left on top of another. It's certainly a picture of God's judgment at the end of time when all those who have revolted against him will know his judgment. See, if we think of Jesus as this kind of always smiling person who's always kind, never gets upset about anything, we find it hard to take, don't we, when we read these stories of the king, his dad essentially, acting in righteous judgment against people. But the king is determined that his son will be honoured. He is determined that people will come to this wedding. So what does the king do next? This is verses 8 onwards. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. See, the invitation now goes out to everybody else. Verses 8 to 10. The invitation goes out to everybody else. Now, we've had, haven't we, a couple of royal weddings in relatively recent years. And I don't tend to watch a huge amount of it, especially all the build-up. I know some people love that. But I do. I have had it sort of on in the background. And one of the things that people love doing is spotting all the celebrities that are coming. And you've got the rich and the powerful and the famous. And it's a bit of a procession, isn't it, really, as you see them all sort of queuing up, this long queue of the rich and the famous. But imagine the shock of being there, and you don't spot anyone you realise. And the commentators on TV are struggling as well because they just don't recognise anyone that's walking into this this wedding. Instead, you see some random people. It turns out they've been picked up from Heathrow Airport. And you've got some African people and you've got some Chinese people and there's a few people from South America and they're all going into this royal wedding, complete randomers. And then a bunch of Scottish people that have just stepped off the megabus. Well, they're invited in to the royal wedding. All sorts of people are just walking in, being invited in from everywhere. You've got some middle class people there looking fairly presentable. But then next to them, you've got some people that have clearly slept rough in London. You've got some with like wild hair and tattoos and piercings all over their face coming in. You've got mums with little kids that are sort of crying, and they're all welcomed in to this wedding. Well, this isn't the normal sort of the guest list. You just stare at the TV in amazement. All these people just being invited in, whatever they're like, whoever they are just invited in. And they're being welcomed heartily. This is a picture of what the king does in this story. He says, go out and invite everyone you find. And notice that they were to go to the main roads. Now, where Israel is, it's sort of centre of three continents. It's where three continents meet. And so the main roads had loads of travellers on that were sort of going from different countries. So there were all sorts of people on these roads saying, go out, whoever they are, welcome them in. The story that the children were looking at in Thrive talks about some of the specific people. It says, go and invite in the poor and the lame and the blind and the homeless. Bring them in, whoever they are. Welcome them all in. And it says in the story, it says, bring them in, the good and the bad. Now, this would have all really stung the religious leaders of the day. The Jews of the day, this would have been a real gut punch for them. Because all through the Old Testament, they had been God's chosen people. They were God's special people. And many of them prided themselves on being good. And now Jesus is saying that all these other nations are going to be welcomed in. Whether they're good or bad, they're all invited. But you know, while this is a bit of a gut punch for them, this is amazing news for us. Because we are some of those other ones that the invitation has now gone out to. We are some of those ones that are on the main road, as it were. We are the foreigners to them who are now invited to the royal wedding of the king. God invites us into his kingdom. And it's for people all over the world. And it doesn't matter whether you think of yourself as a good person or a bad person, or whether other people think of you as a good person or a bad person. It doesn't matter. Everyone is heartily welcomed in to the kingdom of God if you accept his generous invitation. In parables that punch one, we saw that tax collectors and prostitutes were welcomed into the kingdom of God. Tonight, Paul Watts is speaking, and his title is Friend of Sinners. He's talking about Jesus as the friend of sinners. I'd recommend coming to that 6:30 tonight if you can make it. And you know, when we accept his invitation, that's when we go on to then share his invitation with others. We then say to others, come in, you're welcome too. If you're a Christian here this morning, is there a warmth in your invitation? I mean, do you invite people? But if you do, is there a warmth that reflects the generosity and the warmth of the king that has said, go and invite everyone, whoever they are, welcome them in? But of course, people will reject Jesus, just like they did in Jesus' day. Some people almost foam at the mouth, don't they, when they hear about God? They hate him so much, and if you speak to them about God, they'll hate you too. John mentioned in his prayer, you know, there are places in the world where Christians are hated and killed just for being a Christian. It doesn't always hit our mainstream news, but if you do read about it, it is shocking just how Christians can be treated in some places. But most people in the UK, I think it's fair to say, most people don't get super angry, do they, when you talk about God? They don't sort of foam at the mouth, but I think you'd agree that many are just completely indifferent to Jesus. It's just a complete don't care about Jesus. You know, there's millions right now who are not gathering and worshipping God this morning, but they're putting their washing out on the line. Or they're going for a nice walk in the park. Or they're training for some upcoming sporting event. And it's because they're completely indifferent to Jesus. Don't even think about Jesus. It may not be obvious, but they too are rejecting Jesus. They don't care about him. Well, wouldn't it be good for us to go and tell people about him? Maybe people don't care because they don't know. Maybe it's our responsibility to go and tell people about him. But we're not to be surprised or shocked, are we, when people do reject him? Jesus himself warns us, people will reject me and they will reject you. We're not to be shocked by rejection. We're warned that it will happen. But you know, the wedding feast will be packed. The hall will be packed with people who do accept his invitation, who do want to celebrate with the king's son. And the question is, will you be there? Will you be there? And maybe some of you think, well, of course I'll be there. I'm in church right now. Of course I'll be in the kingdom of God. I've accepted his invitation. Well, this may be where the parable maybe has a bit of a punch for us. Lastly, you need a wedding garment. You need a wedding garment. Now, most commentators agree that it was the custom in those days for the host to provide garments for a wedding feast so that they might have a rack of garments that people could collect when they came, and they would wear those for the wedding. And if you didn't, it would be a great sign of disrespect towards the host. This is what it says in verse 11. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. See, the fact this man was speechless shows that he had no excuses. He knows he should have been wearing a wedding garment, but he had chosen not to accept it. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Notice that the punishment that he's given is even more severe than for the people who attacked the servants who went out with the message. It can seem harsh, can't it? But he chose to disrespect the son of the king at his own wedding. See, everyone was invited to this wedding, including the poor, the outcasts, the homeless, the good, the bad, the sinners, everyone, whoever they were, was invited to this wedding. They came as they were. But they couldn't get into the feast as they were. They came as they were, but they couldn't get into the feast as they were. You see, they needed to be changed to get into the wedding feast. They needed to put on the garment to be in the wedding feast, to be worthy of being there at the wedding feast. And it was a free offering to everyone who came. They were offered it freely at the door. Take this. They just had to accept it. But you see, this man had come along and he looked down at his own clothes and he looked at what he was like and he said, "Nah, I don't need that. This will do. This will be good enough." And he was cast out. You know, to get into the kingdom of heaven, we come as we are to Jesus. And maybe we come full of guilt. And we come to Jesus as we are. Maybe we come and we think, I've just got nothing to offer. And we come to Jesus as we are. Or maybe we come and we think, I just don't really know anything about God. But we can come as we are to Jesus. However we are, we can come to Jesus as we are. And when we repent, when we confess our unworthiness before God, he gives us a garment of righteousness, his goodness. And as we put it on, it transforms us. It changes us. He makes us worthy to be in the kingdom of heaven. We don't deserve it, but it's a free gift that Jesus gives. We come as we are to Jesus, but we don't come as we are into the kingdom of heaven. You see, many people make the mistake of going to church and doing lots of religious things, and it's as if they look down at themselves and they see their good works and they say, that'll be good enough. God will accept me as I am. It'll be okay. And Jesus says, come to me, repent, confess your sins, ask for forgiveness, ask for my garment. And people say, no, I don't need that. I don't need Jesus. I'm fine as I am. But the reality is, the Bible tells us that our own garments, our own good works are like filthy rags in God's sight. We need the clothing that God makes. If we're going to be in the kingdom of God, we need the clothing that he gives. Remember right back at the start of the Bible? Right back at the beginning, Adam and Eve sin, and what does God do for them? He makes them clothes to cover their shame. And then what do we see right at the end of the Bible in Revelation? We see those in heaven described as wearing white robes. White robes that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. They've been given these robes of perfection because of Jesus Christ. Now I can see you all in church. But are you wearing the garment that Jesus gives? The free garment of righteousness that Jesus gives. It's the only way to enter into the kingdom of God. All we have to do is confess our unworthiness. And he will clothe us with his goodness, his righteousness. And ask him as you do that to help you to live with him as your king. Well, as always, if you have any questions, do feel free to come and talk to myself or a friend if you know they can help you. We've looked at three parables that punch. I don't know about you, but I've found them encouraging in part, but they've also hit me pretty hard. And my prayer is that God's word would have had an impact on you too over this mini-series. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for these parables that Jesus told. And Lord, some of the bits in these stories have packed a punch. And maybe they've made us feel uncomfortable. But Lord, we thank you for warning us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have shown that you are a God who loves to welcome us in. Lord, your desire is to welcome us and to bless us. And I pray, Lord, that we would accept the invitation into your kingdom, that free invitation, and that we would come to Jesus if we haven't already, and we would say, Jesus, please give us those clothes of righteousness that we need to be perfect in your eyes and to be worthy of your kingdom. So, Lord, do work through this series, these stories, I pray. May it have a lasting impact on us. Lord, we pray this for your honour and your glory. Amen. Well, we're going to sing to finish. How the grace of God amazes me.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that each one of us here may know that Jesus has washed away our sin and has given us his garment of righteousness, making us worthy for your kingdom, so that we can know the blessing and the wonder of the celebration in the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, I pray that you be with us as we go away from this place. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.